Welcome back to the Mac Express, where we explore the people, programs, and passions that are changing lives in powerful ways. I'm your host, Michael Cruciati, and today we have a story that reminds us of the strength of redemption, the power of purpose, and the healing that happens when human and dogs work side by side. Our guest today is Davon Patterson, a man whose name you might not know yet, but whose impact you've definitely felt if you've followed the work of canine support teams. Davon's story is one of leadership, transformation, and giving back, not just to people, but to the dogs who change lives every day. From his years in CST's prison pup program at the California Institute for Men to now working as a professional trainer for the CST team, Davon has shaped the journeys of dozens of dogs, just to name a few: Z, Grace, Bellini, Morgan, and much more, preparing them to become life-changing companions for people with disabilities, veterans, and those who have suffered what some would say catastrophic things in their lives. We'll talk about what it's like to train inside the prison system. We'll talk about what makes a great service dog, and we'll talk about the life after release, how he found his way back into the program that meant so much to him, and how he's building a future for his family, his community, and himself. Davon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It is beautifully sunny here in Florida. Finally, we've hopefully gotten to the end of the hot season, so we're enjoying it.
Well, I feel unlucky right now because I'm in rainy California at the moment.
Well, I think you have better weather year round when you look at the whole thing. But
for sure,
I love it. So, Davon, I've gotten to know you a little bit, but through hearing your story of other people. And today I just love to jump into your story. And it really moved me. And I would love for you to share it with us.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So to kind of go back track into like my younger days and childhood growing up, I grew up in not a really adverse environment, but what one would call not the best. And had good parents. They were hardworking people. They had us in church, but, you know, like a lot of people, they went through things themselves that kind of rolled over onto their children's lives. But they did the best they could to kind of guide us and basically give us a good foundation of what it means to be a good abiding citizen, you know, in our communities. And so some things happened in my life to where I decided to take my own course in life. You know what I mean? I would hear things from my mom about behavior, from my dad about the way to, you know, to live and to act and how to be proper. But I didn't always follow that. Let's say that I wasn't always obedient. So I found, you know, some buddies of mine that were good. My parents liked them. They were good guys. But we had our, let's say, closet things that our parents didn't know about as far as, you know, being in the streets and hanging out and, you know, smoking weed, drinking at a young age, you know, hanging around gang members and things like that. And so one thing led to another, and I found myself in prison due to my actions. And I was sentenced to 38 years in prison for multiple armed robberies, multiple armed robberies. And I, let's just say I used that. I used what prison offered to change my life around. So when I first get into prison, my first couple of years, I'm kind of a knucklehead. I'm doing some knucklehead things and getting a few write-ups here and there, but nothing too major. And I'll explain why they weren't too major, because I end up getting out on a early release. But anyway, to get back on track, I end up, you know, making a couple bonehead decisions even while in prison. And so I'm sitting in prison with a 38-year sentence, and I'm saying to myself, man, something has to change. I'm doing illegal activity in prison as far as smoking weed and bringing in cell phones, selling cell phones, doing those things like that. And I'm like, you know what? Something has to change. So one day I'm sitting out on the prison yard, and we're waiting to go back into a building. And one of the guys comes to me. So actually, I would go to church here or there, but there was something in my heart that was kind of hardened towards church because of certain experiences that I had growing up with the church. And so one of the guys comes up to me. Now, this is a white guy, and we're on a level 4 prison yard in California, a general population yard, to where this is not something normal, right? So it's a white guy, and he comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, Devon, are you going to come over to the chapel today?" And so I say, maybe I might come. He's like, "No, just come over, man. Let me share some things with you." I was like, I will. Maybe I'll just come tomorrow. So he's like, "No, come today." So to kind of make a long story short, I go over there. Now, keep in mind, please, this is a white guy. We are on a level 4 prison in California where there are racial boundaries. Let's put it like that.
Mm-hmm. So now, did you know this gentleman at all? Had you seen him around the yard and stuff?
I had. I seen him in passing, and we would talk at church. Very little conversation. Just, "Hey, how are you?" "All right, pretty good. How's your day?" "It's good. Thank you." And then, boom, I would keep going. So I did know his name, whatever, but we did not have that relationship to where I was just surprised and kind of shocked to where by me telling him, yeah, I'm coming, was me kind of like getting him away because I don't want anything to come of this. You know what I mean? Because like right. I say, there are racial boundaries in prison. So, you know, for his sake and for my sake, but lo and behold, this man was a true man of God to where he didn't care about that. Wow. But anyway, so I end up going over there and I end up sitting down and I end up talking with this guy, and I had knew of Jesus Christ. Like I say, my parents brought me up like in the church and stuff for a decent portion of my life. I had to give credit to my parents, a decent portion of my life. But like I say, there were some things that scarred me, whatever. So he ended up talking to me about Jesus Christ, and I had heard the gospel message like I never heard it before, like the true, you know, just raw gospel message, man. And so when I hear this message, I'm like, okay, I kind of heard this before, but there are some things that I haven't heard before, and they're to where they're like kind of pricking at the heart to where I'm like, okay. So this guy, he also had a cellie, right? And his Sally was also into the word of God. Now, keep mm-hmm. in mind, again, please, this is very key that these are white gentlemen. I'm a black male on a prison yard in California where politics are real.
Wow.
So I'm seeing these guys and I'm seeing their walk. I'm seeing their life. I'm looking at everyone on the yard and I'm seeing these guys and I'm like, wow, these are the type of Christians that like I read about in the Bible. Like I say, I grew up in a church. But there were some things with some of the people, and now I know that I'm older. Not everyone is perfect. Not everyone is going to always be or live out, should I say, what we are called to be as Christians. I get that. Mm-hmm. But these men were the greatest example of a Christian that I had ever seen. I mean, the greatest. The love in these men was like none other. I mean, it has to be to walk over to a black male on a prison yard to introduce the gospel and try to get him to come to church with him alone. So it has to be, right?
Wow.
So anyway, I'm telling you, man, Mike, very, very impactful in my life. So anyway, as I see these guys, now I'm starting to ask them questions. You know, what did Jesus mean when he said this? And when Jesus says to love all, no matter what did he mean? And I had asked Steve that one day, right? That was the guy's name, Steve. I had asked mm-hmm. Steve, I said, what does Jesus mean to love your neighbor no matter what? What did he mean by that? When you said that, because he was teaching messages, I said, when you said that, what does that really mean? And he told me, he said, I'll tell you what that means. He said, I see you. He said, I see you trying to come to church and do right. He said, but I also see how you live on the yard. He said, I see what you're doing. He says, and I have a heart for you to be saved. I have a heart for you to come to Jesus. He says, but I know what you're doing can kind of hinder that. He said, but what love is me being willing to come to you, knowing your race and knowing mine, is to come to you to bring the message of Jesus Christ, to let you know that Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. He said, that's what Jesus means by loving your neighbor. At the time, I was kind of confused. I'm like, okay, that's good, but I don't know. I need a little more. So I get back to my cell, Mike, and I process this. And when I tell you, out of nowhere, tears just start coming down my face. Like, this is real stuff, man. Tears just start coming down my face out of nowhere. I'm like, wow, when I think about the chances and the risks that guy took to bring the gospel to me, to see me be a better person. If that was it, that was my call. And I told the Lord that day in myself, I said, Lord, if you take the weed smoking from me, if you take this gambling from me, if you take this cell phone, if you take this from me, Lord, I will serve you. Wow. I literally tell you, I heard a voice say to me, if you give it up, I will let you serve me. And that was it. Cold turkey stopped all the little like gang buddies I was hanging with and activity I was doing with them. Stopped smoking weed, stopped gambling, everything. Cold turkey, because that voice hit my heart and I got what God was saying to me. You make the step. You make the choice to give it up and I'll let you serve me.
Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back to the episode. We want to share something that's incredibly important to us here at the Mac Express. In 2019, Olympic show jumper Kevin Babington's life changed in an instant. What followed wasn't the end of a story. It was the beginning of a movement. Through the Kevin Babington Foundation, lives have been forever changed. Not just Kevin's, but those remarkable individuals like Kim, Jonathan, Alexis, and David. Heroes who persevere every hour of every day thanks to a community that refuses to give up. As we approach Kevin's Rockstars 2026, we celebrate those stories, that courage, and the mission that drives us forward. Visit kevinbabingtonfoundation.org to make a donation or reserve your table now for the event of the season in Wellington, Florida. Together, we ride for Kevin. Together, we ride for the future. Okay, now back to the episode.
Fast forward a little, I'm going in prison, I'm doing good, my behavior's good now, I've been without write-ups, everything to where I get down to a lower level, level one. Now I'm at Chino Prison where CST's program is. So I'm in a lot of groups and we talk about making amends and doing good things and giving to community, whatever. But in the self-help groups, it's really a lot of like, not to say that it doesn't really happen, but it's a lot of indirect ways that we can like make amends, like donating to, you know, some of the, like one time, one of the sergeants had passed away. A group of us were able to send money from our books to help him buy flowers and things like that. Or the children's organizations on the streets, we could like donate and, you know, send money to certain organizations that way. But when I got into CST's program, the dog program at Chino Prison, and I seen these guys training dogs, and I seen what these dogs were doing, and the purpose of these dogs as far as going to like children with autism, say retired school teachers that have, you know, taught in our country, taught our students in our country for over 25 years, and they may have had a hip replacement, or a veteran who was over there fighting for our country to keep it free. Now, when we talk about making amends, hear me out on this, Mike. Crime affects a nation. Crime will affect the world, right? What I mean by that is if I commit these multiple robberies that I committed in California, it was on the news in Carolina, to where now that mother in Carolina is worried about her children going to school because robberies are taking effect, right? Or to bring it even closer to home, now the police sirens that are coming down the street full speed in the morning, now that mother who released her kid to go to school is wondering, what happened to my child? So our crime, me and a lot of my brothers in the dog programs in prison and throughout prisons all across, they're starting to get this now. Because of the rehabilitations that they're putting into prisons, we're starting to see these things. So because of my crimes, right, it affected our nation. But here you have these veterans who are out there daily trying to protect our nation. So in a sense, what they're trying to protect, I am trying to destroy in my crime. So now here it is, this veteran who's fought to protect this country, willingly put his life out on the line and say he's lost his leg, or maybe he doesn't have full use of his arm, or he suffers through PTSD, whatever it is, all those things that he's had to go through because he tried to protect the country that I tried to destroy through my actions. What better way to make direct amends than training up a full service dog who can help that veteran to live a life in the country he tried to protect and in the same country that I tried to destroy? What better way to make amends? There's really no, when you think about that, there's really no better way to make a direct amends. So when I seen what these dogs are doing, I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm sitting in my cell one day. I'm in the dog program building, but I really didn't have a heart at the moment to train the dogs. I wanted to like just walk them or maybe take them out to use the restroom or whatever, let the other guys train them because it looked hard. Like I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to teach a dog to open a refrigerator and bring medicine. I'm going to teach a dog to climb up and turn off a light. I can't do that, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'll help in some way. I'll take the dogs out, but I'm not going to get into the training. I'm sitting there and on TV, man, Mr. Cruciati, when I tell you this, this is the truth, man. This is the truth. I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV and a wounded veteran commercial comes on.
Oh, my God.
Now, keep in mind, I'm a guy who's known for taking. I'm in prison for robbery. I'm selfish. I'm a taker. That's just who I am. This commercial comes on with this guy and he's really sad. His wife is sad. She's having to move him around in a wheelchair. Then the other veteran right after him tells a story about how his friend died and he wished it would have been him. He's singing the song on a guitar about his friend who died in a bombing and whatever, how he wished it'd be. And I sit there and I say, keep in mind, the taker, the selfish person says, man, I'm getting in the pro. I'm learning to train. I want to help these guys get dogs and help these guys get their needs met. If that's not the power of Jesus, I'm a selfish person by nature. I'm in prison for multiple robberies. But all of a sudden I say, now I want to help give. One who's known to take says, I want to give. That's the transformation power of the gospel. So I get into the program. Lo and behold, I run into a guy by the last name Mora, who taught me a lot about dog training. I mean, man, I love this guy. I owe this guy everything. Taught me so much about dog training to where when they gave me my first dog, that dog was ready to go in about 2.5 months. And the trainers that were working for CST at the time when they came into the prison to see this dog, their words to me were, wow. We did not think at all this dog would be ready this fast. We had hopes for her. This was Morgan. They said we had hopes for her, but we did not think that the dog would be ready this fast. You don't even know how good that made me feel. But what made me feel even better was when they took Morgan out and they took her to a boy out of state. This boy had mobility problems in his upper extremities, right? He went from a boy that had no friends, didn't go outside, had no friends coming to his house, whatever, to where I get the card from his family and they say, Davon, they say, thank you for what you did for our son, right? They said, thank you for what you did for our son. They said, he went from having no friends at all to being the most popular kid on the block, right? They said he went to being the most popular kid on the block. This is real stuff. Check it out, right? They said he went to being the most. They said when his friends found out the dog can open a refrigerator, dog would bring him a blanket. The dog would come and lay on his lap. The kids on the street were so in awe of what his dog could do. That made the kid popular. You know how good that made a taker feel? Come on, man. You got to think about this stuff in context in a whole. A taker, me, being one who takes, gave something to a kid that brought him life. You can't script this stuff. And once I got that card, I turned it up. Every dog I was getting, I was trying to get him going real fast, putting him on the clicker, getting him to understand clicker language and all these type of things. Mm-hmm. I was going, man, because that one thing showed me that, you know what? You are not a taker. You are not a robber. You are a law-abiding a citizen now who has a heart for humanity, and you care about the well-being of humanity.
That might be the rawest description of the gospel I think I've ever heard.
Man, thank you, man. Thank you so much.
And what I absolutely love about that is that it's exactly, at least what I believe, what Jesus intended for it to be.
For sure.
We are all sinners. We all fall short. Some of us may not have done things to get us incarcerated, but it's a redemption story that is profound. And to have you go through something like that, and then to know that this is exactly what Jesus wanted you to do, and feel the forgiveness of yourself, that is incredible. And then to take the skills that you found in yourself that you would never have thought of and then to cherish and to help other people in their walk. That is remarkable, Devon.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. And real quick, let me add too. So when I got into the program and they made me the chairman in the program within like maybe 2 months in, right? So when I get into the program, COVID is going. So now keep in mind, I've been in the program about 2.5, 3 months. COVID goes crazy. A lot of the experienced trainers, they get COVID, they kick them out. It's me and my buddy. I know he won't mind me using his name, Mr. Mullins, who's still in the program right now. Me and Mr. Mullins and a guy named Vu, right? One of my Asian buddies who's like so close to my heart, it's crazy. Me, Mullins, and Vu, we're in there. We got a few other guys who had just got into the program, and it's like 11 dogs. We're having to manage, get up out of our sleep in the middle of night to go to a cell where there's no one at, but the dog is there. So we have to go check on the dog, to where we had to get a system to where one of us had to stay woke to go around to check on the dogs. And then it would be the other person's turn. Hey, now you got to stay woke. Let me get a little rest, because we cared about the well-being of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Guys in prison, this is how much we cared about the well-being of the animal, to where we came up with a shift to make sure we go around and check on the dogs. Wow. To make sure we stay up, kind of like guard duty for dogs. Come on, man. You can't script this stuff, man.
No. And it's absolutely life-changing. And
it is.
And what you went through, making you a better husband, a father, it touches your entire life. What did your family, how did they react when you told them this story and when they learned about this?
Okay, so give you the funny part first. So my sister, when I told her I was in training dogs, she said, "What kind of dogs are you training?" I said, "I'm training dogs for service dogs." I said, "The majority of them, Labradors, Golden Retrievers, Poodles, Labradoodles, things like that." And she was like, "Oh, okay. She said, "And where are they at? Where are the dogs at?" I said, "Oh, they're in our cell with us." She's like, "They sleep in the cell with you?" I said, yeah, they sleep in the cells with him. She said, "Oh," she said, "where's the warden? I got to talk to him." She said, "They let dogs sleep in the cell with you?" Got right, jokingly. So I'm like, yeah. She said, "Brother, I got to tell you." She said, "I would have never thought that you," because even outside of the robberies, like even in relationships with women and like with certain of my family members that I had little animosity for, I was very selfish and very, I was a no tolerant type of person at one point in my life. So she told me, she said, "Brother, I'm so proud of you." She said, "Because if you can do that and change your life in that way and do that for a dog and care for a dog that way," she says, "I know you've changed. I know it." She said, "Because I know how you used to be." She said, "And I really could not see you taking care of no dog like that, being fully responsible for a dog 24 hours a day." She said, "I really couldn't see you ever doing that." She said, "And now I can honestly say that I know my brother's changed."
Hold on one more second. We'll be right back to the episode. We want to share something that's incredibly important to us here at the Mac Express. Every day, Canine Support Teams is changing lives, one paw at a time. Founded on compassion and purpose, CST trains and pairs service dogs with veterans, first responders, and individuals with disabilities, giving them not just independence, but hope, confidence, and a loyal companion by their side. From classrooms to combat veterans to children in need, their work reaches far beyond training. It's about transforming lives through unconditional love and teamwork. Visit caninesupportteams.org to learn more, make a donation, or sponsor a future service dog that will change someone's world forever. Together, we stand for courage, compassion, and connection, because every hero deserves a helping paw. Okay, now back to the episode.
That right there was so heart-touching to me from my sister. That's my sister right under me. I have four sisters. The one that was right under me, when she told me that, it meant so much to me, because she was one that I like care for my sister that I basically like help my mothers and then raise growing up, as my mother was a single mother for a while with me and her. Mm-hmm. So I helped, you know, help my mom with her. And to hear that from her was like the keep going signal, what we call in dog training, the keep going marker, where you're like, that's it. But that was my, that's it. Keep going, D. Keep, that's what they call me, D. Keep going, D. That's it. And that's what helped me to keep going. So,
wow.
Yeah. But as far as like my other family, my mom, when I had sent her the very first picture of me and the dog, she was like telling all of her friends, everyone at her church, that she could not stop telling people, right? When I sent her the card, and I called my mom maybe about 2 or 3 days after she had got the card, and I called my mom from prison. I said, Mom, did you get the card? She says, yes. She said, I got it on my work desk too. I was like, man, that, like, I've never gave my mom anything like that to be proud of. You know what I mean? I've never gave my mom nothing to be proud of like that. And my mom was so happy. When I see those are the type of things that I could do to make my mom happy, I was, man, Mikey, I can't. This is kind of crazy because I can't like really fully word it. I'm sorry about that, but it just, it to hear your mom say that she put one of your accomplishments on her desk, man, it's crazy, man. It really is. It's just one of those things to where it's like, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. And that's what the program really is about, showing you that you can do it, man. And CST, there are the greatest people. When they come into prison and they talk to us like regular human beings and they treat us like regular human beings and they hand over their dogs, which are considered medical equipment, they hand these dogs over to us and say, here, we trust you to do this and this and this and that, and then turn their back and walk away and don't call, don't ask the officer, hey, go check on our dog. Go, none of that. They trust us, man. And when you are truly rehabilitated and you know someone trusts you, you don't worry about the ones who don't trust you. Mm.
You know, Devon, this is the most powerful episode I think I've ever done. And what I hope that people are listening to is there is hope and there is a chance. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you are, that there is a chance. It starts with, you know, that I think you absolutely laid it out beautifully, because I've been there in my own life, is that, you know, you have a hard heart and you don't want to, you don't want to follow Jesus, and you want to do your own path. And then he speaks to you in very specific ways and it brings you to what he wants you to do. And then shows the commercial right when you want to. And it changes your entire trajectory, your relationship with your mom, your sisters, everything. And if there's anything that people get out of this episode today, it's in those quiet moments that you can do this and you, there is hope for you to change everything about your life.
Yep, for sure. And so really quick too, I don't know how much more time, but I'll say this. So now, through the power of Christ, through the work of rehabilitation, and I gotta give it up to her, and I, if she gets mad at me for mentioning her name, oh well, but through Shara Butterworth, right, the head trainer at CST, she was so impactful for my transformation, rehabilitation, it's crazy. But anyway, through her and through Brenda giving the okay and through Daryl supporting, through all of these people, my co-workers, Genevieve, Bailey, Helena, Kylie, Olivia, through everyone, Kate, Joe, all those people there at CST, never one moment did they ever look at me and treat me like a felon or like a convict. And I believe that's because when they see me, the first thing they see is the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, when the Bible tells us that God's desire is to conform us into the image of his son, it's real when you let that transformation take place. And people don't see you and your flaws when you truly have the light of Christ beaming first. That light is so bright, it blinds them to where they can't see the flaws. They can't, man. And everyone there, as I was saying, has helped me so much to where now I go into the prisons and I talk to the guys, and I'm able to tell them a life experience on which I've had to use my rehabilitation coping skills in society in order to operate properly and be a upstanding citizen. And every time one of them hears it, I get a special one-on-one message from one of them after the class. And they're like, man, thank you so much. The other day I was dealing with this and this and that in here. And now I see how I should have went about it and this and that. Thank you. So to hear that from the majority of the guys that I've known for a while, to hear that from them, it's like now the keep goings that I was getting from people. Now it's me giving it to them. Keep going, keep going, keep going, man.
Passing it forward. I absolutely love that. And yes, it's exactly what you're doing now. The mission of CSC, I absolutely fell in love with it. And you're mm-hmm. impacting people's lives. And yes, even though they may not have the chance to talk to you face to face, but the mm-hmm. animal that they get sees that light that you're shining with them. And it,
for
I can only imagine some of the veterans that have received these dogs, the dark places that they're in, and then yes, they get that light and it changes their whole life. What are you doing now with CST and the animals that you're working with?
So now every day, right, I get at least three or four of the dogs out to get them socialized. That's what will make a service dog complete, is his socialization, getting them out, getting them socialized. We can teach them how to open doors. We can teach them how to, you know, retrieve a phone or bring a water bottle or whatever. We can teach them all those little things. If they're not properly socialized, they don't work good for the clients. Mm-hmm. So I make sure my mission is to get at least three to four dogs out every day to make sure they're socialized. So when the clients come down, they don't have to work as hard with socializing a dog out into society, getting them acclimated into, you know, out there into the real world. So I do that. And like I said, I go into the prisons also, and I teach the dog program now for CST. I basically am over the men's training program at CIM mm-hmm. prison, where CST sponsors that dog program there. And I'll say the most important thing to me is the hands-on with the client, working with them. So I'll share a story. There was a client, he was an outside cert. He brought his dog in and we put it in our program to get it fully trained for him. And his dog's name was Cowboy. And my coworker Genevieve had put in, man, she put in work with this guy and his dog to get him ready. So then we sent him into the prison. He gets trained. So as I'm walking across from our kennel into the office, this guy, he says, hey, Devon, hey, you got him in? I was like, hey, what's going on, man? He's like, hey, he says, man, if you ever talk to the guys that trained up Cowboy, man, tell them thank you, man. Tell them thank you. This dog, I already had loved this dog. I love him so much more now. This dog has really, really changed me, man. He's really had an impact on my life. And I was just like, wow, I can go back there and tell that guy what he did for this veteran and his dog, and how he made their relationship even better through his constant training efforts every day, training this dog. Mm-hmm. His work did not go unnoticed. And when we went in and told him, the guy had a smile bigger than Heath Ledger's on the Joker.
Oh, I'm can serious. Only imagine.
The smile was huge. So that's the impact that I get to make now for CST. And then I'm kind of like a utility man. Wherever they need me, I'm there. That's how appreciative I am of the blessing that the Lord has given me through CSP, to where if, you know, Kate says, hey, Devon, I need you to do this. Boom, I'm doing it. Char says, hey, can you? I'm doing it. Daryl says, hey, I'm doing it. Olivia, can you do this? I'm doing it. No matter who, I don't look at myself as being above anyone or too good to do any one special task. I'm going to do it, man. True servant, man.
That is true a servant. Wonderful mindset. Oh, my gosh.
And thank you. Thank you, man.
So where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself going?
So in the next 5 years, I do see myself still working with dogs. But what I want to do is get a mentorship program. And this is, I don't know. Of course, I'm going to have to talk with Brenda and Daryl about it. But this is something that I have in my heart, like a mentorship program with the dog training with youths. Youth that are in, like, you know, a juvenile centers or homes or whatever, get them involved. Because if it can have an impact on grown men whose heart is hard, youths whose heart is hard, but it hasn't grown to that full hardness. Those dogs, they can change it. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, when I take a dog out and there's a youth there, or let me give you an example. There was two boys and they were outside a 7-Eleven, and I was walking the dog in the shopping center. So I so happened to go into a 7-Eleven, and these young kids had the little hat onto the side, the little pants sagging, a little sweat, you know, kind of thuggish looking kind of kids. You know, kind of remind me of myself when I was their age, thuggish looking kind of kids. And these kids were like, "Oh man, look at the dog. Look at that dog, man. That's a cute little dog." I have one of the little oodles. I can't remember which one. They're like, "Oh, look at that little dog. It's a cute little dog." Then one of the guys says, "Oh, look at the little feet. Look at the little feet." Because they shaved the legs and then kept the feet kind of puffy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To see these young men who's trying to look so tough break down over this dog, that's what gave me that desire right there. So within the next 5 years, I want to do that. And also, I want to bring in an apprenticeship program in the prisons to where guys can transition out and get into some local dog company, whatever communities they're in, to get in, even if they have to start off community service or like just, you know, working for free for a while, kind of like an internship type of program, but just get them something to where they can go and say, "Here, look, this is what I got. This is what I've done. Can I help in any way?" Because by me being able to go into CST so quickly upon my release, I truly believe it kept me from even going to the street, even though in my heart I was done. But that definitely kept me from even wanting to go see an old friend or an old buddy or to say hi. Yeah. When I got out of prison, I didn't go see no old buddies, family members yet, no old buddies at all when I got out. Because as soon as I got out, a week after, I went and got a puppy from CST to help them raise. That was my mission.
Wow. Well, yes, I absolutely have to say what an honor it is hearing that story, because the world needs good men. And yes, your ambition to work with the youth, there's nothing better than a young man being mentored by an older man that has been through things understands.
Been through it. Yes.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if people tell you this enough, but I'm just so proud to have gotten to meet you today and be able
thank
to hear this story.
You, man. Thank you so much.
I absolutely wish you the absolute best. We'll be talking quite a bit here in the next couple months, but just
for
to have
sure.
the time with you today was truly a blessing.
Awesome. Anytime, man.
Awesome. All Devon, right. Amazing story. And so if everybody who's listening who wants to learn more about Devon and CST, make sure you check out Canine Support Teams online and on social media, where Devon is a frequent post on there, which is awesome.
Yes, yes.
And so if there's other things that you may have in your life, don't be afraid to reach out. Utilizing other people that have gone through experiences, that is the first place to start. And
for sure.
I know, and I think this is what the true message is of this today. Devon,
and I would like
you.
To say one thing before we go to everyone who's listening. And to everyone who's listening, who talks to someone who did not get a chance to listen to this, don't be afraid to accept help. Don't be afraid to accept help. That's how I ended up receiving Christ. And that's also how I ended up becoming the man that I am today, because I was never afraid to accept help.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, don't be afraid to cross barriers that you think
come
are
on.
There.
Come on, that's it. That's where it started, crossing those barriers. No matter how scared you might be.
out of your comfort zone, man. You never know. That one person that you go and talk to may completely change their life.
Come on. Yes, sir.
I love it. Well, again, Devon, thank you again. This is the Mac Express, and we'll catch you next time.